as we look back on the NBA draft and look ahead to the season's beginning a little more than a month from now. How did the Nuggets do, a general question to start, Matt, in a draft that was considered quote-unquote weak by many of the experts?
That was surprising. I don't think necessarily that they expected to be where they were. I know that the Nuggets took until they called their 22nd pick in with 5 seconds left on the clock. So it yeah. took them a while to figure yeah. out things, because the Suns basically changed everything when they took Jalen Smith at 10.
Right.
And that
right.
really that changed the order.
Yeah.
Yeah. When that, because there were so few viable centers in this draft, that really started to change things. And then from there, Isaiah Stewart went earlier and Precious Achiuwa went earlier. And so that's, you know, it's not that – I think it is fair to say that maybe, you know, Zeke Nnaji was not their first or second or maybe even third pick, but they're totally happy, I think, with what they got, especially given that he fits what they were looking for. And then R.J. Hampton is the other guy they were really tempted by, and that's a case where – I don't think they wanted to trade. If you ask them, are you planning on trading into another pick, they would have said, well, no. But then when R.J. Hampton fell as far as he did, that's the kind of opportunity the Nuggets look for. And so they saw an opportunity to buy low and picked up another really talented player that was top five before he decided to go overseas to New Zealand. So I think overall they accomplished what they wanted, were able to take a shot downfield with R.J. Hampton, and did fine. They had a low bar to clear, I think, for this draft.
I don't know if we have Orlando or not, if we do or don't. But let me just step in there. Let's start with Nnaji. When you look at him, freshman of the year in the Pac-12, does something that the Nuggets didn't do all that well last year. He gets to the line, and on top of that, he was a 76% foul shooter, I think, this past year at Arizona. So he's a good foul shooter. He can get to the line, and he's excellent on the offensive boards.
Yeah, I mean, he checks all of the marks. They were looking for somebody with strength that could play in the front court. They wanted somebody with athleticism. He brings that. He's not one-dimensional. The other real upside, I think, is that from the people I've talked to, he's ready-made. And what I mean by that is Zeke Nnaji is not a guy that you're like, oh, no, he's going to need a couple of years before he can play. Like, he can probably take minutes in a spot role very early. The upside may be lower, but what you're really looking for with this 22nd pick was a backup center. And if he's more than that, great. What a win. Right. But that's what they were looking for, and that's really what they got. There's also, you know, there's a possibility that he's better than that. There's a possibility that he adds more, because he does have some shooting ability. He does have, like you said, the ability to get to the line. He brings some athleticism, some raw athleticism and finishing ability, which they needed. They needed a lob finisher outside of Mason Plumlee and the patented reverse lob finish. So I think this gives them some flexibility for trades. It gives them some flexibility down the line, a cheap, affordable contract for a reserve role in a position they needed. He checks all the boxes.
Matt, the NBA is so unique. You know, when you look at the National Football League, I think that's the only league that you look at where all first-round picks are looked at as people contributing right away. And I know that Zeke Nnaji should get some playing time this year, should do some things for the Nuggets. But everything that I've read on R.J. Hampton is that he may be a year or two away. So when I look at that, just one, what's your opinion on that? And was it a right pick for the Nuggets, knowing that they needed a true point guard now?
You know, I don't think they need a true point guard. Murray's really grown into the role. It gives them flexibility, and it's an upside pick, like I said. His straight line athleticism is absurd. Like, one of the problems with the Nuggets last year is they have skill guys and guys that work within the offense. But if you're like, we need a guy that's just going to break down a defense. He's going to break the first line to contain, force the defense to collapse, and be able to make plays. They don't have a lot of those guys, and those are really valuable in the league right now. And Hampton absolutely is that. I think he's going to grow into being a really good passer. The shooting is going to be a question mark, but for a guy that can absolutely attack the rim, make plays for others, and with just insane upside, I think it was probably worth the pick, given that it's unlikely that pick in the future was going to be more valuable than R.J. Hampton. even in maybe better drafts. So I think it was fine to take that shot. The real disappointment, though, I think, is that because the Nuggets still don't have a G League team, you can't just assign
him. I forgot about that. I forgot
about
that.
And send him down. That would be the ideal, is just to be like, we're going to send RJ down for a year. We're going to have Najee split time between the regular club and the G League team. And when they're down, we're gonna ask that the G League team run 50 pick and rolls a game. Like, just run as many pick and rolls as you can and teach RJ how to do that.
Why don't the Nuggets have a G League team? And by the way, we're talking to Matt Moore, our Nugget insider. Why don't they have a G League team?
How can I put this? The financial concerns, given the return on investment, are such that there's not a great deal of enthusiasm from certain people in the ownership group. You can read that how you want.
I think we got the message.
Yeah. Hey, Matt, just out of curiosity, I just want to get your thoughts on this. You know, the free agency is starting today. Basketball is coming back next month. Typically in a basketball season, you know, you look at last year, free agency started June 30th, and then the season started October 22nd. So you had about 3.5 months to get your team together and get ready. You know, so do you anticipate there being any hiccups with the Nuggets, being that you got a large group of guys that might depart, and I don't know how active they're going to be in free agency, but you're only really going to have about 5 or 6 weeks to really put this thing together until you're playing games that mean something.
No, I think they're pretty set, honestly, because they've got good relationships with all the guys that are free agents. I'll go ahead and say that I fully expect Jeremy Grant to be done by the end of the night. I wouldn't be surprised if Jeremy Grant. Be surprised if Jeremy Grant was signed at 6:01. If he's not signed early, that means someone has come with a considerable offer, and the Nuggets are in a tighter position than they thought they were going to be. But right now, I'm expecting a quick re-sign on Jeremy Grant. I think Paul Millsap probably comes back. He's going to probably look around, but I don't think his heart's in leaving. Mason Plumlee is an interesting one. Because of how the draft shook out, there's a possibility that centers become more valuable in the free agency market because, when the Suns reached for Jalen Smith, everything got messed up with what guys were expecting. He's an interesting one. I think Torrey Craig is an interesting one. But they have strong relationships. They also spent the entire hiatus planning. So they knew this was going to be tight. They're prepared for it. I don't think the Nuggets are going to be caught off guard.
Very interesting. Well, Orlando likes your answer because he speculated yesterday that Grant would be back. I wasn't so sure, but it seems like you are quite sure on that. Among the free agents, and I'm not saying he's within the Nuggets' reach, but assuming Davis goes back to the Lakers, and that's a virtual certainty, Fred VanVleet's a fascinating guy out there in free agency. Have any idea where he'll end up? Because there's been a lot of wheeling and dealing already in the NBA, and I'm wondering if you think that VanVleet returns to Toronto, or is he pursued maybe by a team in this conference? And whether it's related or not, what's the reaction in the basketball world to the very unfortunate news that Klay Thompson will miss a second straight season, this time with a torn Achilles?
I'll start with the latter question first. Everyone's bummed about Klay, just universally. He's known as a really good guy. He's just well-liked by everyone, coaches, players, general managers, everybody. It's a huge blow just in terms of the Warriors were going to add more excitement to the season being, quote-unquote, back, and now that seems a little bit more far-fetched. There is some consideration that the Warriors' window is closed. That's disappointing, although obviously the Western Conference teams are not heartbroken about that aspect. But nobody wanted to see this happen to Klay Thompson. It's really unfortunate for him to suffer these two major serious career-altering injuries so late in his career and what should be his prime. It's really disappointing. For VanVleet, I've heard mostly Eastern Conference teams. Look, he's a guard on the free agent market who's ripe for being overpaid. So, of course, the New York Knicks are interested. The Knicks are there, and they're probably going to make a significant offer if they don't trade for Russell Westbrook. I've heard Chicago might be interested in clearing space to acquire him. Phoenix had him circled, but then Chris Paul was made available to them in trade. So that's one person off the market. Orlando's another team. Mostly Eastern Conference teams is what I've heard for VanVleet. I think there's also a small chance Toronto clears space to re-sign him.
Real quick, you're listening to KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver, visiting right now with Matt Moore, our Nuggets insider. Matt, is there somebody on the free agent market or on the list that you're saying, man, you know what, if the Nuggets were able to get him, that he might be able a guy to put them over the top? Or have you heard anything, you know, because this thing just started today, so just trying to get as much information as we can on it.
I don't think there's anybody that's going to put the Nuggets over the top. There aren't players that are going to be the difference between making the Western Conference Finals and making the finals. Like, that's not that those players are not available, nor do they have the room for them. This just isn't that kind of free agency class, to be perfectly honest with you. You know, we're talking about Davis Bertans and Fred VanVleet and those kind of guys.
Right.
You know, I think that there are quality pickups that might be available to the Nuggets. I look at a guy like Garrett Temple, who Tim Connelly knows from for quite a long time. He's a veteran that brings defensive aptitude and is a good shooter. He makes a lot of sense as an addition. There's, you know, spot players here and there. There's a lot of guys available in trade. So the Bulls have made Thaddeus Young available. I think that's probably a player with his versatility that, especially if Paul Millsap were to leave, Thad Young would be a pretty smart replacement there. Though, to be clear, these are not names I've heard connected with the Nuggets, because mostly their word has been going to bring it back, mostly. There's a number of other guys I think that are out there, but there aren't really any major shakers I think that are going to dramatically improve Denver. It would take Denver going in a really unexpected position late, which, if that's happening, that those options have not been made available yet. That can certainly change. This is the NBA, and that's how fast things move. But as of right now, I'm not expecting anything earth-shaking.
Yeah, quickie before we let you go. Simple question. Balance of power since the season ended, has it fundamentally changed in the West? Are we still looking at least 1-3, Lakers, Nuggets, maybe the Clippers, and throw a blanket over the rest of the playoff contenders? There's not much difference among, let's say, Dallas, Portland, Utah, Golden State, Phoenix.
Yeah, I mean, I think Houston is likely to fall out.
Yes.
Their noise about wanting to keep this going is not sustainable. It's a toxic situation. That they're gone.
Yes.
So OKC's gone, I think.
Yep.
Though they do have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Al Horford. That's a pretty good core, given how many picks they've acquired, but they're still dealing guys.
Right.
And they'll probably look to flip those guys as well. But Phoenix probably takes one of the spots. Portland, fully healthy, probably takes one of those spots.
Yes.
And that's probably where the West stands. I do think there's kind of a consensus that the Clippers have to do something in order to catch up and improve.
Right.
And they'll be interesting to watch. A lot of teams are looking at it and saying, like, well, look, if you're in the West, you got to go through the Lakers, but you also got to go through the Nuggets.
Yes.
Like, that's a conversation that's being held, which shows you how much progress Denver made last season.
Yeah, good point. The Nuggets are a go-through team now. When was the last time we were really able to say that? Matt, our thanks as always. You're terrific. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Matt Moore is our Nugget Insider, and you can listen to Matt Moore all day, but it doesn't take 30 seconds to realize he is as knowledgeable and as smart a young man as any NBA observer might be, male or female, and he joins us.